Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Wade Van Niekerk stood on the champions platform at the 2016 Summer Olympics, listening to his national anthem from South Africa playing. As the crowd cheered, Wade lifted his gold medal and gave a silent prayer of thanks to God. He was thankful for winning his race and bringing the gold medal home to South Africa. He was thankful for an amazing talent as a runner. But perhaps most of all, Wade Van Niekerk was thankful to God for his comeback. For his story isn't just a story of a fast African runner. His story isn't just a story of an Olympic and world champion. His story is a story of a remarkable comeback. Wade's comeback story began the moment he was born. He arrived on the scene 2 months premature and weighed just over 1 kilogram. The doctors told his mother, a woman named Odessa Swartz, that the little boy was too small to survive. "He won't last 24 hours, the doctors told her, and even if he does, he might be disabled. But God had other plans for Wade Van Niekerk. Odessa Swart prayed and asked God to save her newborn son, and God heard her prayer. Wade survived, and not only that, he grew up strong and healthy. And when he started running as a child, his mother recognized his talent. After all, she herself was an amazing athlete in her youth. She was a champion runner in South Africa. But due to the wicked system of apartheid, she was not allowed to compete in international track and field. She was banned from the Olympics and prevented from going anywhere outside South Africa. So when little Wade wanted to become a runner, his mother could have shut him down. She could have said, "Look, there's no use in pursuing that. You won't go anywhere." But instead of giving up, she saw something better. She had a vision of a better world with unlimited opportunities for her son. So Odessa Swartz encouraged Wade and prayed for him. She instilled in him a faith in God to see every obstacle as an opportunity. And because of that vision, in 2016, Wade Van Niekerk stood on the champions platform at the Summer Olympics, holding a gold medal for the 400 meters men's race. The doctors thought he wouldn't live 24 hours. But at 24 years of age, he became an Olympic gold medalist. They said he would be shut out of success due to the color of his skin. But he's the greatest 400-meter runner in the world. His faith in God gave him the vision he needed to come back and become a champion. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the inspiring true story of Wade Van Niekerk. The truth is, every comeback requires vision. The ability to see what God sees. When you see what God sees about yourself, it awakens you to the potential in your life surrendered to God. When you see God for who He truly is, it empowers you to endure through the difficult times. And when you see God's plan for your life, it motivates you to rise up in faith and fulfill your destiny. For the fact is, you can come back from any setback when you see what God sees. That's the truth we're going to discover in our sermon today. But before we go further, let's pray. Almighty Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask today that you open our eyes. Let us see what you see, O God, in the spirit, in the natural. Let us see how you can overcome every obstacle and turn them into opportunities when we have your vision. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive, disturb, or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to touch each and every one watching and listening, that you will open our eyes to understand the truth and give us the power to fulfill it. We thank you that at the end of today, your name will be glorified and our lives will be blessed. We ask this by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, hello, everyone, and happy half year. It's great to have you join me today on this first weekend in the second half of 2020. By God's grace, we've reached the midpoint of the year, and it's time to celebrate what God has done. Even though the first half of this year may not have turned out the way you expected, we can all give praise to God that we're still here. God has kept us, and He's kept us for a reason. He has a purpose and a plan for your life this year. And as you look to him, he will keep you going until his plan is accomplished. That's why I believe there's a comeback for you in the last half of 2020. God is restoring and rebuilding and renewing our lives. And I believe the second half will be better than the first half. If you believe it, say amen. But here's what we all need to understand. Things won't get better just because we want them to. Things won't miraculously turn around unless we discover the truths God wants to use to bring change. See, God wants to bless your year and bless your life, but he has a way to do that. And if we don't follow his way, we won't reach his destination. So while there's a great promise for a comeback in 2020, there's also the need to know how to reach that destination. We have to see what God wants to show us in order to get where God wants to take us. That's why the halfway point in the year is a good time to stop and reflect. What can I learn from what I've experienced so far this year? It's a good time to pause and ask myself, what does God want to teach me from all that I've passed through? How can I move forward to make the second half better than the first half? And how can I overcome the obstacles and turn them into opportunities? That's why last week I began a new sermon series titled The Comeback Factor. During this midpoint in the year, we're studying the lessons of great men in the Bible who experienced comeback stories. We're learning principles that will help us come back from setbacks and launch a new start for the second half of 2020. We began this series last week with the message from frustrated to fulfilled. We looked at the story of Peter and how Jesus turned his empty boat into an overflow of fish. Peter's comeback was launched when he separated himself under the Savior, submitted to God's word, and surrendered to follow Jesus. And if you happen to miss that message, I encourage you to go online to Facebook or YouTube and catch up on that foundational truth. Now, today we're going to look at one of my favorite Bible heroes, a man named Gideon. Gideon started out hiding in fear from his enemies, but when he caught God's vision for his life, he went from hidden to hero. So go ahead and take out your sermon notes for today and follow along with me as we learn the comeback factor from Gideon's life. Gideon's story begins in Judges chapter 6. The Bible tells us that in those days the people of God had rebelled against the Lord. So God sent a powerful enemy called the Midianites to punish Israel for their sins. And these Midianites were so cruel, they stripped the entire land of all its food. They came and took away all the sheep and cattle. And if any crop grew in the ground, the Midianites would come in and strip the land bare so that no food remained anywhere for the people of Israel. And because the enemy was so oppressive, the Bible tells us that all of Israel had gone into hiding. The people of God were hiding in mountains and caves, trying to avoid the enemy. Instead of standing in their authority as children of God, they were hiding anywhere they could because of the oppression of the enemy. But when the pressure became too great and the starvation became too serious, the nation of Israel cried out to God for help, and the Lord sent help. He sent an angel to call a man named Gideon. Listen to the word of the Lord in Judges 6, 11 and 12. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." When Israel cried out to God, he heard their prayers and sent an answer. But the answer God sent was not immediate deliverance. The Lord didn't come in by himself and scatter the Midianites and send them packing. Instead, God sent an angel to a man named Gideon to raise him up and give him a vision and use him as a deliverer. Now, at first, that didn't seem like much help. After all, Gideon was just like the rest of the men of Israel. When we first meet him, he's hiding like everybody else. He's trying to thresh some grain and make some flour at the bottom of a wine press. He was so afraid of the enemy, he was hiding, trying to hold on to what little he had. But God's comeback for Israel began with a comeback for Gideon. God was taking Gideon from hidden to hero, and in order to do that, he began imparting new vision to Gideon. when Gideon started to see what God saw, he was on the path to become the hero Israel needed. And the same thing is true for you. Your comeback in the second half of 2020 requires you to receive God's vision and begin to see what God sees. So today, let's discover the three visions you need for your comeback. And here's the first vision you need, the internal vision. You have to see yourself as God sees you. When God wanted to take Gideon from hidden to hero, God began by changing Gideon's vision of himself. Listen again to Judges 6:12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now at first, this must have seemed like some kind of a bad joke. After all, Gideon didn't look like a hero. Here he was hiding in the bottom of a wine press. He's frightened, he's defeated, and he's helpless. But when God saw Gideon, he didn't see him that way. He didn't see him as Gideon saw himself. God saw Gideon based on faith and based on his plan and purpose for his life. The fact that Gideon wasn't fighting the enemy didn't change God's vision of him as a mighty warrior. For the truth is, God calls us the way he sees us. He sees us through the eyes of faith. He sees us through the supernatural eyes of possibility. This is what the Bible says in Romans 4:17. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. See, God has the power to raise the dead, and God has the power to make something exist which did not exist before. And because God has the power, he calls it by faith. He calls things that are not as if they are. And that's why the first vision you need for your comeback is God's view of you. It doesn't matter what you look like to others. It doesn't matter what exists or doesn't exist in your life right now. What matters is what God sees, because God has the power to make what he sees a reality in your life. In order for your life to align with the purpose and plan of God, you have to see what God sees. Any comeback in life begins with the way you view things. In other words, how you view yourself determines what you do with yourself. And if you want to do better things, you have to have a better view. If you want to do things differently the last 6 months of this year, you have to view things differently than you did the first 6 months. But when your perception is based on deception, you will go astray. When you don't know who you are, you will miss out on life. And that's what happened to Gideon. When God began to reveal his vision of who Gideon was, Gideon argued with God. He said, "If I'm a mighty warrior, and if you love me so much, then why are all these problems surrounding me? Why am I threshing wheat in the bottom of a wine press? Why are my enemies oppressing me?" And this is where Gideon was making his mistake. Gideon was basing his perception of his identity on his circumstances instead of basing his identity on God's word. Gideon allowed his problems to influence his vision of himself instead of accepting God's vision for his life. And many of us are making the same mistake today. But hear what God is saying to you today. Do not allow your current circumstances to dictate your vision of yourself. Do not allow your present problems to shape your self-image. Do not allow what other people have done to you to impact your identity. For your value and your worth do not come from the circumstances around you. Your identity comes from the God who created you. And that's why your comeback in the second half of 2020 begins with an internal view. See yourself as God sees you. For you can only know who you really are when you see yourself as God sees you. Only God can give you your real identity. The fact is, he made you. He knows you inside and out. He's the one that fashioned you and formed you. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." To fulfill your destiny for this year and for your life, you have to first discover it in God's word. You have to have an internal vision to see yourself as God sees you. So, what does God see when God sees you? Ephesians 2:10 tells us this, for we are God's masterpiece. Just put your hand on your chest and say, I am God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So put your hand on your chest and say, I've been created new in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And think about what this powerful verse is telling us. When God sees you, he sees a masterpiece. He sees his own divine creation shaped and formed by his loving hand. You were made special the first time when you were born, but that's not all. The second thing this verse tells us is that when God sees you, he sees a new creation in Christ. The Bible tells us that God has also created us anew in Christ Jesus. In other words, we've been made even more special the second time. When we're born again, the past is gone. Your sin is forgiven. You are a new creation in Christ. God made us naturally unique at birth, and he made us supernaturally unique at the second birth. But not only did God create you, he has a plan for you. When God sees you, he sees you as a person with a destiny. For this verse says he planned us to do good things. And that's exactly what destiny is. Destiny simply means you've been planned for a purpose. So put your hand on your chest and say, I've been planned for a purpose. He made you unique so that you could fulfill a unique place in the world. That's why when God wanted to show Gideon his vision for his life, God said, mighty hero, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. You know what Gideon's real problem was? He was waiting for God to do something that God wanted Gideon to do. In verse 13, Gideon is complaining, Lord, if you're with us, why don't you deliver us? Why don't you help us? And you know what God says back to Gideon? That's why I raised you up. That's why I've called you and destined you. Go and do it yourself. Now, that might sound strange, but the fact is God said, I've already given you the power. I've equipped you. Go and possess that victory. See what I've done in you. And that's what God says to you today. For he sees you as a warrior. He sees you as his child, born special in the natural and born again extra special in the supernatural. He sees all of us as his agents on earth. And if you're going to go from hidden to hero, you need to see it too. If you're going to experience a comeback in 2020, you have to understand you're here to do battle. You're here to rise up and take control. You're here to wage warfare against the enemy, to tear down strongholds and to advance the kingdom of God. Listen to what Paul told the church at Ephesus. At the end of his epistle, he says this in Ephesians 6:10 to 12. A final word. Tell your neighbor a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Paul's last word, the one he wants the church to remember, was that we are in a battle. We need to put on the armor of God, for God has given us the strength. Now we need to exercise ourselves and use the weapons God has given us. I remember one time, some years ago, I was praying about a problem, and I was praying, Lord, please bind the devil. Please, Lord, stop the enemy from attacking me. And the Holy Spirit interrupted my prayers. And you know what the Lord said to me? You bind the devil. I've given you the authority and I've told you to do it. And friends, that is exactly what we need to do today. Many of us are standing around complaining. We're saying to God, why don't you help me? Why don't you deliver me? And the Lord says, I've already given you everything you need to go into battle. The victory is yours. Go and claim it in my name. This is why in Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I've given you power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Friends, whether you like it or not, you're in a battle against Satan. But the great news is you have God's power available to you. You have the name of Jesus, the name at which every knee must bow. You have the word of God, the same word that Jesus used to overcome Satan when he was tempted. You have the Holy Spirit, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You have the power of prayer, the power to call down angels and drive out demons. Hallelujah. We've got the victory of Jesus Christ in us. So rise up in victory. See what God has created in you. It's time to tell the devil enough is enough. It's time to claim our rights through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what you see when you see yourself. I don't know what other people see when they see you. I don't know what the devil sees when he looks at you. But I know what God sees. When God sees you, he sees a masterpiece, a warrior in Christ. And he's given you the power to live according to your divine design. The power to be the person God sees in you comes from him. And that brings us to the second vision we need for our comeback, the eternal vision. See your God. When Gideon sees his life as God sees it, Gideon suddenly realizes that if God's vision for his life is going to be fulfilled, it's going to require divine intervention. So Gideon says to God, if this is really you, if you're really talking to me, then show me a sign. Let me bring you an offering and worship you. So he goes and prepares an offering and he brings it back. And when Gideon offers his offering to God, the angel touched the offering with a wooden staff and fire blazed out from the wooden staff and consumed the offering. And Gideon suddenly has his second vision. He sees the eternal. He sees God. Listen to Judges 6, 22 to 24. Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord. He cried out, Lord and King, I have seen. Somebody shout, I have seen. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, may peace be with you. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to honor the Lord there. See, Gideon knew something. He knew that if God was really the one speaking to him, there was going to be a demonstration of power. There would have to be an encounter with the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says God waited for him. God wanted an encounter as well. For the fact is, God is longing and desiring that we touch him. He wants us to see him. He wants us to worship him. He's hungry for us to be in his presence. Listen to Jesus' words in John 4, 23 and 24. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Did you hear what Jesus is saying? He says, God is seeking worshipers. God is looking for people who will turn their hearts to him. God's eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. And anywhere that he finds hearts that are open to him, he comes to meet them with an open heart. He comes to meet them and give them a vision. And this is what happened with Gideon. God searched the whole of Israel. He was looking for a warrior, but he was also looking for a worshiper. God didn't want just a brave man. He wanted a brave man who would depend on the Lord's presence. He wanted a man who would not fight in his own strength, but would fight by yielding to God and trusting him and worshiping him. And God looked at Gideon's heart and said, I believe there's a man who will worship me. I believe there's a man who will honor me. I believe there's a man who will build an altar for me. And if today you could catch that vision, if you would turn your whole heart to God, he will surely come to meet you. For any time we turn to God in worship, any time we bow our hearts before him, we can see him face to face. That's why 2 Corinthians 3, 16 to 18 says, whenever, though, they turn to face God, as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. they suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. For when you see God as he is, it changes you. When you experience his presence firsthand, you will be transformed. That's why your comeback requires a vision of God as he is. For all the strength you need to finish strong in 2020 is available to you when you meet God and worship him and experience him personally. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of a woman named Carolyn Isbister and her daughter, Rachel. Carolyn had just given birth to her third child, a little girl she would name Rachel. But when Rachel was born prematurely, the doctor took one look at the newborn and simply said, "No." She was lifeless and weighed just over half a kilo. Her heart was only beating once every 10 seconds. And worst of all, little Rachel was not breathing. So the doctor told Carolyn, "There's no way your baby can survive." And he and the nurses walked out of the hospital room, leaving Rachel to die. Carolyn stared at the lifeless infant wrapped up in a blanket. She couldn't bear to never hold her daughter, so she picked her up, took her out of the blanket, and held her close to her heart, bare skin against bare skin. And then something remarkable happened. The warmth of her mother's skin kick-started Rachel's heart into beating properly, which allowed her to begin to breathe on her own. "I couldn't believe it," Carolyn said. Rachel gave out a little cry. Her skin warmed up and blood began to flow. The doctors rushed back into the room and began giving the child intensive treatment. And miraculously, against all odds, little Rachel survived. Dr. Ian Lang, a neonatologist at the hospital, said this about Carolyn and Rachel. "This is indeed a miracle baby. I've seen nothing like it in my 27 years of medical practice. I have not the slightest doubt that the mother's love saved her daughter." That's the power of love. But listen carefully. It wasn't the idea of love that saved Rachel. It wasn't the concept of love or even words of love. The miracle took place when Rachel experienced her mother's love. She felt it. She embraced it. She was surrounded by love. And when Rachel experienced love in person, it brought her life. Carolyn later said it was that first hug which saved her life. Otherwise, she wouldn't be here today. And there's a powerful lesson for all of us today in the true story of Carolyn and Rachel. There is life-giving power to overcome obstacles when you experience God's love firsthand. When our eyes are open to see his love, it changes everything. When you get a revelation of God's love, you start to realize who he has made you to be. When you realize you belong to him, you begin to enjoy the benefits of being a child of God. When you identify yourself as a child of God, loved by the Father, it will transform your life. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. Listen to God's word. "May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." And think about what the scripture is telling us. Paul is actually praying for us in these verses, praying that we will get a revelation of how much God loves us. He prays that we will not just know about the love in our head, but we'll experience that love personally. And then he gives us an amazing promise. When you really understand God's love, when you experience God's love in person, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. In other words, when you see that you are loved, you'll be made complete. When you discover your true identity, loved by God, you'll experience the fullness of God's life and power. Now, I'm sure if you were asked today if God loves you, most, if not all of us, would say yes. The fact that God loves us is one of the most widely held beliefs in the world. Even people who don't follow Jesus will admit to knowing that God loves them. But the key for us here today is not knowledge about the fact of his love, it's experiencing that love personally. For you see, you can't meet God and stay the same. You can't encounter God and leave the same you came. That's why your comeback requires a vision of God. You have to encounter him and experience him personally. You have to worship him and come into his presence. You have to get alone with God and let him meet you. For no matter what the first 6 months of this year have been like, when you meet God and experience his love, the second 6 months will be transformed. That's what happened to Gideon. Once Gideon came into the presence of the supernatural, he was totally changed. He got up from that altar and he was on fire. He was a man on a mission. He tore down the altar of the false god Baal. He gathered an army together. He camped around the army and prepared to attack. Gideon saw himself and was awakened to his potential. He saw God and was empowered to fulfill his destiny. And that brings us to our third vision, the external vision. See your destiny. When Gideon saw himself and saw God, then Gideon was transformed. He went from hidden to hero. Emboldened by the power of the Holy Spirit, Gideon rose up to lead God's people out of bondage. Listen to how his story continues in Judges 6, 34 and 35. Then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. Isn't that awesome? He clothed him with power. He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, summoning their warriors, and all of them responded. So here's the result of the newfound visions in Gideon's life. When he saw himself the way God saw him, he was activated. When he saw God as he truly is, he was empowered. And then Gideon sees his destiny. He doesn't assess his potential from where he's at. He views his potential from where he's headed. And he begins to act according to his visions. And the same thing will happen to you. When you see your destiny as God sees it, you will make destiny decisions. To experience your comeback in the latter half of 2020, you have to begin to make destiny decisions. You have to look beyond the circumstances and start taking responsibility for your future. The success of the rest of this year is in your hands as you make the daily decisions to pursue God's destiny for your life. See, nothing you've been through this year has changed your destiny. No setback, no delay, no obscurity can change your God-given destiny. People's opinions and people's opposition don't change your destiny. And if you'll stay with it, you'll achieve it. If you'll submit to God and follow him in obedience, he will bring it to pass. For God has provided everything you need for your destiny. God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. See, your destiny comes from God, but the determination comes from you. You have a part to play. You have to stay with it. This is the truth we see in Revelation 3, 21 and 22. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand or catch a vision of what he's saying to the churches. Jesus is telling us that God has a plan for you, a destiny, but that destiny won't happen automatically. Jesus wants you to rule and reign with him, but the destiny awaits those who have overcome. The ones who are victorious in this life will be the ones who sit on the throne. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, somebody say endure, we will also reign with him. Sadly, too many of us are weighed down with the cares of this world to focus on fulfilling our destiny. We seem to have lost the sense of urgency in pursuing God and His will, and the task of following Christ seems impossible. But the fact is, the problem is not the difficulty of our trials. The problem is our lack of focus on our destiny. If we would pursue God's will more than any other thing, we would have the determination and discipline to do the impossible. That's why the Bible admonishes us in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Nudge your neighbor, say, run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Run to win. Run with purpose. Pursue your destiny with great determination, and God will make sure you achieve it. That's the lesson we can learn from the inspiring true story of Mike Akinlabi. Mike Akinlabi came from a very poor family in Lagos, Nigeria. Life was hard, and he struggled a lot. Yet in spite of the difficulties, Mike had a vision for his life. He had two. One, he wanted to break the cycle of poverty in his family. And two, he wanted to study abroad. He believed in his destiny to make a difference. When Mike would tell people about his dreams and vision, they would make fun of him. He had no means to study abroad. He didn't even have the means to study in Nigeria. How could he ever reach his dream? His destiny looked out of reach to man. And other people tried to talk him out of it. It can never happen, they said. And in fact, outwardly, it looked like it would never happen. Rather than moving towards his destiny, sometimes it looked like Mike was moving away from it. At one point in time, he actually became homeless. He was sleeping inside a white garment church in Oshodi, Lagos. At the same time, he was working as a bus conductor, a tro-tro mate, a bus conductor, breaking the cycle of poverty and studying abroad. It can never happen, you might think. But a great destiny requires a great vision, and that requires great determination. And Mike Akinlabi had such vision and determination. He didn't allow his circumstances to dictate his vision for his life. So in spite of his circumstances, Mike dedicated 2 hours every day to studying, reading biographies, and improving himself. He would trek for miles to attend church conferences in Lagos. He spent hours in the study of the Bible, praying and fasting, and improving himself. No matter what, he was faithful in working towards his vision of his destiny. And Mike's dedication to his vision paid off. In 2006, he earned his first degree and graduated top of the class at the University of Ibadan. He earned his first master's degree in 2010. And later that year, he obtained a full scholarship to attend Cambridge University in the UK. He earned his second master's degree in criminology in 2011 from Cambridge. And he kept pressing higher. In October 2016, Mike was awarded his PhD in criminology and criminal justice from Griffith University, Australia. Mike Akinlabi, former tro-tro mate, is now a lecturer in criminology at the University of New England in Australia. A poor boy from Lagos. A tro-tro mate, a bus conductor who had no home, a young man struggling for food to eat. All these describe Mike Akinlabi, but none of these words define him. He didn't allow his circumstances to define who he was. He let God's vision for his life shape his identity, and his vision has come to pass. Listen to Mike Akinlabi in his own words. I would like to encourage every man and woman out there, never stop dreaming. Develop actionable plans to see your dreams come to fruition. I know that with a great dream on your mind, actionable plans to back it up, a strong never give up attitude, and God on your side, you can become whatever you choose to be. It may seem late, start all the same. It may seem impossible, don't be afraid to start. on your journey to significance. Many will shout you down or try to redefine your vision. Never give them a chance or allow them to distract you. Just like Mike Akinlabi, your great destiny requires great vision. You have to see what God has planned for you. That's what happened to Gideon. Gideon went from hidden to hero, and it was vision that sparked his comeback. When he got God's vision for his life, it awakened him to his potential. When he had a true vision of God, it empowered him to act. And when he saw God as he truly is, it transformed him. And when he embraced God's vision for his destiny, it motivated him to rise in faith and fulfill God's plan. He saw what needed to be done to achieve destiny, and he made destiny decisions to fulfill it. And the same thing will happen to you. You'll experience your comeback in 2020 when you see yourself, see your God, and see your destiny. Don't allow your current circumstances to set a limitation on your life. Open your eyes and embrace God's vision of who you are, of who he is, and of what he's called you to do. For the truth is, you can come back from any setback when you see what God sees. Shall we pray? Father, I commit every man and woman, boy and girl, watching and listening to this message. I pray the truth of your word will penetrate our hearts, open our eyes, remove the veil of deception, take away the blinders from our eyes, and let us see in the Spirit. Let us see ourselves as you see us. Let us see you as you truly are, great in power. Let us experience your love so that we might see your vision for our destiny. Give us an internal vision of how you see us. Give us an eternal vision of yourself. And give us an external vision as we look out to see the path you've set before us. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The hope
of nations. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're heroes in-